Welcome to the Reality After Show with me, Johnny Fairplay, the biggest villain in reality TV history. You can see my next live show tomorrow in Los Angeles, and then the next day in Mississippi, and then I'm not Johnny Fairplay. I'm much cooler, much sexier. I look better in a Speedo. All the good stuff. But no, in all seriousness, Johnny is at a viewing party in Durham, North Carolina. It's hard for me to keep track. I think he's with the Queen, right, Alex?
He is with the Queen.
Okay, so I'm with Alex Trias. We hold it down every time when Johnny's not here, which is literally half the Survivor season, typically. The past couple of years, it's been like that. But it's fine. We all know, last week, Alex, Johnny went on one of his most memorable tangents of why do they pick the Rocks? These fans, they can't even make a decision. Oh God. Yeah, he was in rare form. It's like, tell us how you really feel, Fairplay. And but tonight Johnny's at a live show. This season has been kind of up and down for me. I've liked some of the stuff. Why do they do this or whatever? But tonight, I actually enjoyed this episode. I liked the challenge. I liked that it wasn't like Gobbler making a bunch of, military references and dog references in the chat, like a 2-hour challenge. Right. I liked the challenge. I know some people, Alex, have a tough time with just a simple challenge that's a endurance style versus a multi-stage thing, but I thought for tonight it was great. What's your first impression? I know right before we went on live, kind of we talked a little bit about our thoughts.
Yeah, so the way I see this is, I felt they did a good job highlighting who could potentially go. They're giving us some long-term stories as to, I feel, why certain people won't win the game, why some people could win the game. We have a clear direction going into the vote. It's going to be either Janine or Ryan. We know that going into that tribal. And ultimately, we see everyone flip when all episode, we all hear, we just need one person to flip. They get that person to flip, but then everyone else just votes out Janine anyway. Yeah. So it's very fascinating. We'll definitely dig more into it, especially when we get to that tribal, to say, was the right decision made? Because I think there's two ways about it. But I thought it was a good episode. And I would say probably why you liked it more is it had what we were lacking last episode. Mm-hmm. And that was a lot of explanation.
Yeah.
I kept saying how last episode was a sacrifice for whatever happens moving forward. And this episode was we're going to rehash all the things that happened that led to that vote last night, and we're gonna really spread out and give you information on why these people are being targeted this episode.
There's one thing I do have a problem with, and I feel even at Tribal, are laying low, right? It's I think that people don't want to ruffle feathers, and they're just just kind of chilling. I don't want to do anything stupid. Do you think that people are going to really step up and play the game? I know we see Sammy, who's really blatantly wanting to stir things up and play the game almost more than tonight, especially, dude. Sammy is whether it's good or bad, it's a 19-year-old kid, which is crazy to me. It's how young. Because he looks a lot older. I have a 16-year-old.
He looks he's in a senior in college.
Yeah. Cause I'm this dude's 3 years older than my 16-year-old son. And he just looks a lot older, but he at least is wanting to try to maybe I shouldn't stay in my alliance. Maybe I should kind of do something different. Cause where do I stand in this alliance of seven? And I feel you do have to look at that. Do you want to chill and whatever, or do you want to like win the game? So like when I hear people say, look, I'm playing to win. Multiple people have kind of said that. I like hearing that philosophy.
For sure. And we do hear from him, and it's like he was told, I guess him and Owen at a minimum were also told about the plan to take out Dwight last tribal or before last tribal. And Sammy did take the offer and went with the vote, gets into this seven. And how close is this seven? We still don't truly know. They suck tonight, barely, even though Cassie flipped. But I almost feel like I get it. It's a nuanced way now of the game where everyone wants to play. And they talk about a tribal. Everyone wants to play a subtle game, but not everyone can be subtle. Like, you have to be more abrasive. And I think Sammy almost was like acting out at tribal, and that's why he was being boisterous and loud, because he wasn't getting what he truly wanted. There's nothing from this episode that made you say Sammy wanted Janine out. Janine going out was good for his game. Yeah. Janine going out is not good for his game. Ryan going out would have been great for him.
Yeah.
Because it keeps him in the middle. But I think this is also highlighting, because as much as this was like a big episode for Sammy, Sammy wants to play the game, Sammy wants to have control. This episode, I think, was supposed to tell us Sammy doesn't get control. As much as he wants it, as much as it's admirable that he wants to get it. I think the story that's being told is he may get a move at some point in this game, but he's never going to have active control of it. And when he get, and if he gets to the end, he wants that respect. I am not sure if he's going to get it ultimately.
Yeah, and you know, he is young.
It's great storytelling.
It is. I thought they did a good job tonight. I mean, we did see a couple, you know, backstories with like Owen and stuff like that. But honestly, you know, Owen kind of has I've always thought Owen was a likable guy, and but wasn't really on my radar to be like, wow, I'm rooting for Owen. But I tell you what, the producers were like wanting to put Owen in a special light, telling this backstory of him being adopted and stuff like that. And then overcoming, you know, just being Asian and growing up with his white parents and trying to fit in with other people. And then he doesn't feel like in the tribe sometimes that people listen, he's kind of on his own. And so they did tell a little, you know, the little, we kind of say like, okay, tell the story once and then whatever, but I don't think they overdid it. It really made me like Owen.
It came off more like, well, one, it came off authentic. I'm not saying other people's stories weren't coming off authentic, but I don't feel like he was saying it as a woe is me type of way. Like, this was the struggles of my life. Here, let me like divulge all of that weight onto you. It was more like, this is what I experienced in my childhood. Now let me show you how this is in, like, reflective of how I feel in the game right now. I just like how I was as a child, feeling out of place in a white family. I was adopted. I looked different than everyone I was in school with. It was hard for me to make friends. I'm in this game right now, and I'm clearly on the bottom. I've been on the wrong side of the vote twice. I don't know my place on this tribe, and if I can make a guess, I'm on the bottom.
And just for those that like kind of want to know more details of kind of how Survivor works, which we do a lot of the behind the scenes on our Patreon, realitypatron.com. We do a Q&A podcast every week. We're watching Australian Survivor past episodes and doing podcasts on that. You can be a part of our secret Facebook group. But we get questions from our fans and our patrons. And we tell a lot of behind the scenes stuff that maybe we shouldn't talk about. So I want to say something. So like in Survivor, like he just around camp, when you're around camp, because I played Survivor, obviously, you're bored sometimes. You're just like, some days there's like not a challenge. So you're just sitting around talking. And like, we see this conversation tonight where he, you know, Jesse's talking about, you know, not knowing Spanish and blah, blah, blah. And then Owen's like, yeah, during the pandemic, I was like, man, maybe I should learn Korean. And then we go to this, you know, the backstory, and then we see his confessional where he's talking about it. So here's how Survivor works. They're just around camp shooting the shit, like I would with Alex if I was out there, right? And I could say, and this happened on my season, Karen Owen, but they never aired it. I started talking about my dad who died when I was 14, right? And so, like, in a confessional, they started, like, I said something about my dad dying to my tribe. Well, then when I'm in a confessional, they're like, so, Matt, we know you were talking about your dad. Tell us more, right? And so then I start spilling my guts, get a little emotional, blah, blah, blah. So what's happening here is, like, he's just shooting the shit around camp. He's not trying to, like, purposely show this, like, sob story. He just being real. That's why I feel like came authentic on TV. And then when he's in his confessional, he's telling the producer more about it, and then they get all the footage and the photos, and they put together this little package. So it's like, it's kind of interesting when you watch it from a, when you've played the game, and you're like, okay, like, this is how we get to this point. I think sometimes the producers of Survivor get a little overzealous and try to overly make up drama or whatever based off that. But really, when you're sitting around camp with your buddies and your friends and your tribe mates, you are just kind of, you're wanting to learn about one another. And that's how you become so close and lifelong friendships with the people that you play on Survivor, because you're literally getting to know everything about everyone in a small period of time. Did someone leave a comment?
Or you're Ryan and you want to go fishing for 4 hours.
Oh my God. Well, just take us back to the beginning of this episode.
So before all this, it's night 14. It's night 14. Dwight was just blindsided, but not only was Dwight blindsided, Janine was blindsided, Owen was blindsided. And we have Cody first talking. Cody's talking about how the plan came together. He was like, me and Jesse, we brought in the Coco Four. And surprisingly enough, Sammy joins us. You know what? This looks like a solid seven. And what else do we find out? We find out that Janine left with her idol, or Dwight left with Janine's idol. So now Janine is powerless. And everyone was like, oh, look at all this that we did, even though only a couple of us actually knew where the idol ended up, allegedly. Mm-hmm. At the time, everyone thinks that idol's now out of play. For good.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, this is bad news for Dwight. I feel bad for Dwight because I think Dwight got the shaft on not getting any airtime as far as confessionals for his exit episode. It kind of threw all of us last week on the podcast kind of through a loop, like, wow, like, what's going on? And that's why I think last week was so bizarre. For Janine, it's kind of like screwing her with not having that idol.
Right. I feel what made the episode bizarre is because we get all the information we were missing from all of last week in the first half of this episode before the challenge.
Yes.
And I was texting my buddy throughout it, and we're just like, this just makes me more upset over the episode last week. It's like, we could have used this last week so that we understood what was going on as we were going into that tribal. Because I feel like Survivor got into this age, like, around like a little bit past your season and into the 30s, where they wanted to trick the viewers. They wanted to do everything they could where if you were going to tribal council, you didn't know what was going to happen, or they kept telling you, sort of like this episode, it's like, Ryan's going home. Janine, you are the next person voted out of this game. Come bring me your torch. And you're just like, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
But at least like this episode, there's a little more clear storytelling on why it ultimately happens.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we get that information and we see how Janine reacts. And like I said last week, this season is just about Janine just like busts her chin open on the first day of the game. Loses her top ally at the earn the merge vote, loses another ally in Dwight in the next vote right before jury, as well as at the time, everyone expecting her idol's now out of the game because the last person she gave it to was Dwight and it was in his crotch. They made sure to let us know very clearly it was on his crotch, but don't worry. Dwight said he would clean it before giving it back to her. And you know, one last step of making it clean is if you use Manscaped using promo code Survivor. One last step you have to worry about.
That's true. And I'm sure that he probably Manscaped definitely with a lawnmower 4.0.
Definitely once he hit Ponderosa He was just like, yep, I need this right now.
Oh, yeah. So after this, we see kind of a scene where they're kind of making their flag. They got their paint out. And this is where this is just like around camp hangout time. Like, there's not a lot of strategy, but I like the fact that they spent a couple minutes on this. Is Jesse's basically talking how, you know, they're talking about Spanish. And yes. Yeah, I never spoke Spanish. You know, I grew up and people were speaking it, but I never, you know, kind of did. And then we see Owen talking about being Korean and being adopted. And actually, he's like, I really kind of during the pandemic wanted to like learn to speak a little bit of Korean because that's where my background is from. You wouldn't think with a name like Owen, he's like, I was adopted as a baby. I have two white parents. God bless them for adopting me. But as a kid, we see, you know, Owen is telling this story. He kind of wanted to get the same haircut and he kind of wanted to fit in with just the normal kids, which were probably just white kids at his school. And he was Asian, so he knows what it kind of felt like to be an oddball. And then that brings us back to the game where he's like, I was kind of out of the loop on stuff and I feel different. And we see this a lot where people get in positions where they feel like, wow, people want to vote me out. This makes me feel like I did in high school when I was bullied or this or that. So, and again, if you ever apply for Survivor, the key for casting is to tell them what you do in your normal life and how you will apply that into the game of Survivor and how that will help you win $1 million. That is the golden ticket. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a true authentic moment for Owen. This specific backstory makes me like Owen even more. And then literally throughout the remainder of this episode, I'm like rooting for Owen in the challenge and everything else, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And just one minor, somewhat minor, I guess it could be a major note for future reference. Before the flag, we also get a conversation while everyone's discussing the idol being gone of Jesse revealing to the viewers with a flashback. He actually got the idol from Dwight, just another step in the connection chain of the knowledge is power being known. And Jesse, like Carla, is going to keep that idol a secret because the only other person who would have known is out of this game.
Yeah. Which is very smart because we see everyone all the time telling people about what they have. So like, I feel that it is smart to really keep some things to yourself.
Yeah. It's more smart. Like there's very rare times where revealing an advantage can bring people together because we have seen it in other seasons of Survivor where someone reveals they have the idol and that like combines the group together. Like, oh, we have the idol. So we know the other side can't have it. Let's join forces, deal with that other side. But having it as an ace up your sleeve is so much more valuable. If you find out there's a plan that could upend your game, and you know the only way that can prevent it is if you use that idol, even if it's not on you. You use it on someone, you save their game, you save your own game. You have undying loyalty to a sense. Like, you obviously have the brushback of that person wanting to vote you out because, like, oh, you saved me in this game. I need to take you out now. Thank you so much. Let me shiv you in the back. But I think it's just so much more valuable, especially on these type of seasons where everyone tells everyone everything. It's this new day and age. You see it in Survivor. You see it in Big Brother. You see it in like orgs of Survivor, both live games or online games. People who hold the secrets have more power, and that's just facts.
So why do you think that that's a trend amongst reality TV to where people are not able to keep a secret? Do you think it's because, like, in a world of social media that you have to, like, you have a very short attention span and stuff, and you're, like, posting and scrolling and just, like, you're so bored out on Survivor or some other show that you're just dying to tell somebody? So you just can't help yourself?
I think for some people it's definitely an impulse control. But for others, I feel like they view it as the social game. because that's like the big thing that always gets talked about, especially in modern Survivor, is your social game, your social capital, making the contract of what this season's style of gameplay will be. Mm-hmm. And once one person starts sharing information, everyone else starts psychologically, you feel you have to share your info too, because if you're the one person who's not giving information, you're viewed as a snake. You're viewed as untrustworthy. You're not shown as a good ally, because if you were a good ally, you would have told me all your secrets. Mm-hmm. And so it's like this weird concept in your head of like, I have this power. I have to tell somebody.
Yeah.
So that I can gain trust. I can use this to build social capitals, build protection. So it's like you make all these concepts in your mind that make it make sense to tell people, when mm-hmm. in reality, just build your social connections and keep that to yourself.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I think it's brilliant. I think Carl and Jesse are both smart. So I'm totally down. So Noel, Janine, Owen, and Gobbler, shout out to Tommy Trina. I'm going to be calling Gabler.
Well, it is Gabler, Thanksgiving month.
I know. Gabler, Gabler, Gobbler is Gobbler's his name. They know they're on the bottom, right?
Yep.
And so we have the 7-person alliance where, you know, you got James and Jesse kind of talking about their 7. And then, you know, they're saying how like dangerous kind of a player Owen is. Yeah, I don't think this 7 is going to last, especially after, you know, Sammy's acting sketchy. It always seems decent in theory, and you're like, as a viewer or something, you're just like, well, why don't they just keep the 7? Like, or, yay, like, the all-women's alliance, why did that fall through? It's just crazy because, even if there's a master plan, someone always screws it up.
And that's the other problem a function of the modern game, with everyone being telling everyone everything.
Yeah,
you want to have this fluid game where all 18 people get into this game, and all 18 are like, I want to be able to bounce around.
Yeah,
I don't want to be pigeonholed into one little group, except mm-hmm. for Ryan just wants his 7 and will vote unanimously and everything will be perfect all the time, and I'll go get my fish. Because, you know, I want to play like Rupert. Rupert's my hero. Good for him. Go off, King. But it's like when everybody wants to play fluid and you look at the game now and everyone's like, why aren't these groups sticking together? That's why. Because mm-hmm. once you execute a move and you're in a big group, you then look at that big group like, right. I'm the one who wants to have the credit, though.
Yeah.
Time for me to turn it. Let me go grab these people in the minority. We're going to make a blind side on that person. Then once that happens, well, I don't want them to get the credit. Let me go back to the other side. We're going to make another move. And it's like this. And that's what you see in someone like Sammy. That's what Sammy wants to do. Mm-hmm. He wants to be able to keep going back and forth, getting everyone to shoot at each other, but he's the one dictating where the gun's pointed.
Yeah. Yep.
But the problem is there's only one gun. And there's still 10 people in the game that all want to be the one holding the trigger.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a perfect analogy. Then we go to day 16, where Carla is talking about her dream, where there's like, it involves Jeff Probst and selfies and chicken and ramen. And this kind of spearheads this conversation about food. You got Ryan talking about he wants, you know, whatever.
Pizza wrapped burritos. And Matt, like, you can tell us you played the game.
Yeah.
How much do you all talk about food on the island?
There is talk about food. However, it almost like sometimes pisses some people off. Like if you start talking about food, it's like, dude, shut up, dude. Like, don't talk about food. I don't even want to think about that. But you do daydream about it, and it's hard not to think about it when you're starving.
Yeah.
And we see Gobbler is physically losing weight. He's got it, you know.
Yeah, as you said, he had a muffin top when he came in.
Yeah, he had a muffin top. You know, everyone's talking about food, but Gobbler's like, I really don't care about food. You know, I could eat when the game's over. That's kind of how, like, I would not sacrifice I don't think a chance for immunity like we see tonight with food. I don't think I would ever do that.
I would make sure other people would do it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's interesting. And it's also like, I found this interesting from Gabler because I think it was sort of interesting to look at him because at the beginning of the game, the lack of food was like hitting him hard. And I think it was like a good concept to show viewers is people can bounce back from those early day struggles. Because it's your body adjusting, and if you're, especially for people with like Gabler's body type, where you're a taller dude, you're broader shouldered, which means you're going to be holding more weight in general. Like people with that type of size demand more calories in their system, and then that sudden shock of eating and having over 2,000 calories a day consumption versus here's a little like thing of rice we found. A lime, let's all split the lime together. Mm-hmm. It's like your body's gonna have a shock, but then eventually if you last long enough, your body will adjust to it.
Yeah, so you think Gobbler's adjusting to it right now?
I think he's adjust. I think it's like he's sore, he's probably still sore, still tired, still cranky, but it's like once you get to a certain point, you're in Survivor. I feel like this is something a lot of survivors would probably say. It's like you just get to a point where okay. I'm just going to deal with it and move along with my day.
It's pretty phenomenal how you do get put in a situation like you've never been put in before with a lack of food, no bed, no talking to your friends, no cell phone, no nothing. And you somehow go into instinctively as humans, you go into like a survival type mode. And I do think, at the beginning, it's like, shock to the system. You want to mentally be like, dude, like what's going on? I want to give up. I want to tap out. But then you realize like, wow, I'm 4, 5, 6 days. What's 15 days now into this? I think I can do this. Like I'm getting kind of used to it. And it sucks, but yeah, I mean, we see him, and Ryan talking, Ryan goes out to catch fish. He's catching, I mean, he caught a lot of fish tonight.
Yeah,
like
he did.
21 fish.
21 fish.
But yeah, just like Rupert, a lot of them seem like aquarium sized fish, but
I
imagine they're like, you know,
it looked like, you know, like the little dollar fish you would get at like the shore.
Yeah, but I imagine if there's 21 that might like that's probably like seven full, like I don't know. Like, if you and I had 21 of those fish, we might be able to have, like, a little bit of...
I think we'd still be hungry.
We probably would. But he's all about it. I mean, we do see a cool story here with he had cerebral palsy and was like, you cannot walk or whatever. Because I was always wondering. I wasn't sure if I knew this about this guy.
Like, they mentioned it early in the season. I feel like whenever he's focused on an episode, they'll put a little brief confessional in just to remind the viewers, like, hey, I was supposed to have like full cerebral palsy, wasn't supposed to be able to walk. My mom was supposed to be able, was going to be forced to have to just take care of me every step of the way. But look at me now. I can swim. I can do like whatever videos
he's
they're showing.
He's a beast, man.
Yeah, he's a beast. Physical specimen for sure. Social game, very lacking.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is one of those guys.
And I'm sure he's like the sweetest dude
outside
the show.
But yeah, as far as gameplay
and stuff, he seems sweet, but just like aloof.
Yeah. So we see Sammy and Noel talking. Yeah, they're literally talking about playing to win the game.
Yep.
Sammy's discussing like where he is at in the seven. Like, look, I don't want to just be.
He's smart enough to know he's at the bottom. He was the seventh vote. It wasn't like he was the first, second, or third vote. He was the seventh.
Yes. Now, one thing I will say that I feel. Sammy is talking to Janine and Owen, and then like James walks up.
During the scramble after the immunity.
Yeah, so like James, like, well, and I'm like, man, like, because like Sammy kind of turns around, like, oh crap, hopefully James didn't hear what I just said. You got to kind of be careful of how you talk, and because you never know if there's gonna be somebody like Tony Vlachos with a spy shack, or you know, just people sneaking around and trying to listen in on your conversation, but. Yeah, Sammy is trying to just to the viewers and to his tribe, like, hey, maybe we should like mix this up. Yeah. I don't know if that's going to come back to bite him in the butt. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it takes balls to like be the one really going to everyone to talk about the plan to maybe vote out someone other than Janine. But yeah, we'll see how it plays out.
It's a benefit and a curse of his youth.
Yes, right.
Because like you don't have like the wisdom and age of like knowing, like, just through life experience of being able to like, this is how to approach a situation. Like, here's a problem I'm seeing, because he's seeing the problem. He's like, oh, I'm at the bottom. What's my approach? Let me be very active before we even hit immunity challenge.
Yeah.
Where right. It's like, that could bite you in the butt eventually if you keep doing that. Because eventually when someone else who's on the bottom knows they're in trouble, if I'm in that game, I'm going straight to Carla, Jesse, Cody, whoever, and be like, hey, these last few rounds, I just want you to know, like, Sammy was actively trying to hurt your games.
Yeah.
Like, you take me out. I'm on the bottom. I can't connect to anybody. Like, you guys have your thing. I'm by myself. He's connected to you all and has some sort of social relationships within your group. Aren't you concerned that eventually he's going to turn that around on you? Like, there's certain things that you have to do. And when you have a person who's young and has all this energy and passion for the game, he doesn't want to be one of the 19-year-olds or like the young people in the games that have played Survivor who were just there. They just were there. They're playing a passive game or a game that wasn't going to be respected at the end. He doesn't want to be at the end of the game be like Xander, who no one respected at all. Because he was young and what never had control, he wants control. So like, I give him credit for wanting it, but we see in this episode that as much as you want it, it's not.
I think it's going to come back to bite him, dude. I really do. I feel like he's thinking like, okay, like you're smart enough to know that you got to make some moves and don't want to just like be at the bottom numbers of a 7-person alliance, but I don't know. I feel like I would be a little bit out there like, man, like he's already wanting to kind of switch up stuff. Like, I don't know if I can trust this guy, this kid, you know what I mean?
And yet I love that he's providing for the viewers though. Like, his confessionals are very good, full of passion, full of good quotes. It's like, it's all about the windows of opportunities. This is where good players survive, but great players thrive. And currently, I would just list him as a good player. He is surviving.
Yeah.
But he wants to be able to thrive, but he just needs that. He needs that window.
Right.
And the question is, was this the window? And did he miss it?
Yeah, I know. Was day 16 going into the immunity challenge? The challenge is basically hold a poll with a platform on top. It's got a little bit of a lip on it, which is a little bit better for the ball to not roll off. I think that.
Yeah, it did look a little smooth.
Yeah. So so you got to balance a ball on a pole, which Johnny Fairplay is great at doing. And then you have to add every 5 minutes a section of pole. Yeah. Last person standing wins immunity. As the new era of Survivor, we have this little twist where Jeff says there's a marker in this game and I'm going to give an opportunity to we need 5 people to not compete. And if that happens, everyone will have basically a bag of rice that will last for 4 days for everyone ration of rice. If you ration this stuff out now. James immediately tries to negotiate by saying, how about 4 people? And Jeff's like, no, if after today, more people have to sit out. Exactly. So like,
I like that because of in 41, 42, Jeff, this was like back when Jeff was still doing the fourth wall stuff. And he's telling the viewers like, I'm going to tell them this, but I'm willing to negotiate down to this. This season, he was like, I'm not negotiating.
Yeah.
Here's the negotiation. Here's my number. You say no. Cool. I'm not going to give you anything, and next time it's going to be more people.
Yeah.
How about that?
I do too. Now, what I don't like is the fact that people are actually willing to sit out of an immunity challenge in a game of Survivor. Like, I don't feel like I would. I mean, I guess if you have a big time alliance and maybe, you know, like, you know, we know that Carla's hand is messed up, right?
Right. We know, or if Jesse's... you think like Jesse or Cassie, they are looking at this challenge going like, I am smaller. I have skinnier arms. This is going to get harder and more strainful as it goes on. I'm not winning compared to the field. So yeah. I can at least like gain goodwill. I'm in a good spot. I'm in the alliance, and this gains me some good, potentially some good capital amongst the group.
Yeah.
What I don't like is also like we have James who's like at and the seven actively targeting Owen. Mm-hmm. And you know what's the most blatant thing you can do to let someone know that you're after them? Is James turning around to Owen and be like, when they're at four people, he's like, you're protected, brother. You're protected. If you sit out, you're protected. And I'm like, one, that's insulting.
Yeah.
If I'm Owen and that's how Owen like responded, he's like, that's insulting. Yep. Who made you king?
Yeah.
And you know what? F off. I'm not going to do it. Why? Yeah. Why would I do that when you guys are just going to vote me out if I, as soon as I say I'm not competing?
Yeah.
Flip the bird. I'm going to win this challenge anyway, and then you can suck it.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. So James, Sammy, Jesse, Cassidy, and Carla, they are risking, you know, being voted out by choosing to sit out. I wouldn't do it, but as we spoke about, hey, this is right. People feel like they, you know, they're starved and they feel like they can do it. So we go to the challenge, and like I said, every 5 minutes you have to add part of the poll. So immediately when you start adding to the poll, Janine and Noel out of the challenge, and the challenge gets pretty good. It goes down to Gobbler, Owen, Ryan, and Cody. Gobbler gets out on the transition.
Yep.
His was like bent all crazy.
Oh yeah, his was already bending. And
yeah, like, I don't see how it is even holding up, dude. It was literally completely sideways.
It seems so strange. And like, I also had a question for you about the challenge in general, because we've seen this challenge now with a big ball on top, and we've seen it with like probably like smaller sticks, but with like smaller balls, like more of like billiard ball size, and maybe you would add more to them. Which one do you think would be the harder one to compete in? Because I personally think this one's harder because they make it go so high and it tilts around, whereas the ones with the like little balls, I feel like there's more room for you to be able to control it.
Yeah, I honestly think like on my season, maybe, or it was one of the ones, Malcolm, who was on my season, mm-hmm. he was like a disc challenge where it was something like with a ball or something right. like that. So I think, yeah, that ball that they're using in this challenge looks like it would have some weight to it.
Mm-hmm.
So when the pole gets really long, you can see it bending. And so I feel like my balance is pretty good through being a BMX rider and right. stuff, that I, especially the way that disc, like the thing is, had like a little, like, you know, half inch lip that holds the ball in a little bit versus just, you know, balancing the ball on a completely flat surface with no like sides to it. But yeah, it looks really heavy. So like you said, if you're Janine or somebody with like not as much strength, I think it'd be very hard. And just when you're having to like add the pole, but you also have to have your hands down below the little mark.
Yep. And there. You can't even look at yourself putting it in, because you have to spend all your time looking up at the ball to make sure you are moving the pole itself to keep it from falling off. Because like almost instantly it's over your head. So it's not even you can still like look forward, do the transition. It's like, it was a very grueling challenge, I'm sure, for them. And once again, Cody falls short.
He does.
Owen wins. And I wrote in my notes, I'm like, now this is Survivor. Like, this is like the story. It's like the person who everyone knows is going home if he doesn't win immunity. But he wins it. And now everyone has to think of a different plan.
And it's beautiful, honestly, because this makes the storytelling backstory they played earlier in the episode of his being adopted and stuff and overcoming stuff. And then he wins the challenge. And then mad props to Owen for shouting out like, dude, I was 9 years old, Probst. I was watching Kobe Donaldson and Terry Dietz and Jeff's like, that's going old school. He's like, yeah. He's like, those are my heroes. So I like that Owen was like, it was authentic to me. He wasn't saying like, I really like Joe Anglim and Kelly Wentworth. Like he knows his shit because he's been watching it since he was a kid. So this moment with Owen winning, and then he gives Jeff Probst a hug. This is what I love. I'm a softie. I thought it all came together in this moment. So at this point, I'm like, wow. Like I this is why I watch Survivor. Like I'm actually like enjoying this podcast talking about it because like last week was such a weird episode. I was like, fuck, this is crazy. But yeah, Owen, I'm telling you what, buddy. I'm a fan. I'm gonna be rooting for you because you're on the like. We know that Owen's name is going to be on the chopping block unless something
happens. Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, his time in this game could be very short. Like, he could go as soon as next week. Mm-hmm. But now we have an underdog that people, I feel, across the board should be wanting to actively root for. And congrats to Owen because he proved today that he was both a grower and a shower. And you know what? When that happens, you need to properly Manscaped, and we have a good ad for that Matt can pull up right now.
Yep, here we go. We'll be right back after the word from our ultimate sponsor.
Support for Reality After Show is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Their products are precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped's Performance Package, the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Join over 6 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. That's right, 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. If my math's correct, that's about 12 million balls.
The Performance Package 4.0 has arrived, and oh man, is it a game changer. Inside this package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, weed whacker, ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, Crop Reviver Toner, Performance Boxer Briefs, and a travel bag to hold your goodies.
First off, the Lawnmower 4.0, this trimmer is the future of grooming, and dare I say, the greatest ball trimmer ever!
Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to help reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 is waterproof and has a 4000K LED spotlight that you need for a more precise shave.
Now, I have a dark shower curtain in my bathroom, and I've been looking for the perfect way to shave in the dark, kinda. Guess what? I found it! 4000K LED! No longer a problem. I got perfectly smooth, clean balls thanks to the Lawnmower 4.0.
It's time to take care of yourself, so go to manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping with the code SURVIVOR. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code SURVIVOR. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
Thanks for sticking with us through the ad break. And don't forget, for more exclusive Reality After Show coverage, visit realitypatron.com. That's reality, PATRON.com.
So we're back. Johnny Fairplay is with the Queen tonight in Durham, North Carolina, for the viewing party. He will be doing a podcast, I believe, with our friend Wayne, right?
Yep.
So look out for that, along with challenge coverage. Explain real quick to me when people can watch that coverage.
Yeah, so while the challenge is on Wednesdays, obviously we prioritize Survivor on Wednesday nights here on Reality After Show, but on Thursday afternoons at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, myself, Johnny, Dan Monchel, and Lauren Pratt will be here covering the previous night's episode of The Challenge, Ride or Dies. It's been a good season so far. I'm already hearing some good things about the episode that happened tonight. I'll be watching it after we finish podcasting tonight. So that's where you can find us every Thursday.
And then do you have Johnny Fairplay is doing more viewing parties. Do you have any of that info offhand?
Well, Alex, I know he's doing another one in North Carolina later in the season. You'll have your finale party. Most of those you can find at SurvivorTix.com. That's SurvivorTix.com. But also, night before Thanksgiving, the biggest bar night of the year, Survivor will be on, and he will be at Bolero Snort Brewing Company in New Jersey, just 7 miles away from Town Square. That's SurvivorHomecoming.com, where you can get your tickets for that. A lot of survivors will be there. It'll be a great time. I'll be there. Johnny will be there.
And you can follow Johnny Fairplay on social media. It's just at Johnny Fairplay. It's no H in Johnny, J-O-N-N-Y Fairplay. And he's constantly posting stuff. And, you know, follow our podcast on all the social medias. So after the challenge, you know, Owen wins. And Owen's like, look, I need to get on the right side of the numbers. Because even though I have immunity, I know this is going to be short-lived unless I figure out something.
So I love that he's in the game. He's making the right call. But again, harks back to old Survivor where it's like, no, I want you to be cocky. I want you to be in James's face, be like, oh, so you wanted to vote me out, huh? Oh, I'm protected? I think I'm protected now.
Yeah. Oh, dude. It's awesome.
It'd be like in Australian All-Stars, for those who haven't seen it, Matt Rogers physically wearing the hidden immunity idol in front of his entire tribe going like, oh, do you want to make a move? Oh, you want to take out me? I'm sorry. You can't.
Yeah, I know. Oh, beautiful stuff. Australian Survivor is. So Ryan wants to talk with everyone before he goes out fishing. He's like, I want to get the strategy out of the way before 15 minutes. I go fishing. Yeah, so he's talking to everyone about Janine. And, you know, Sammy is talking to Owen and Janine about voting Ryan. And then Sammy starts going kind of to everybody. Like, at first I was like, is he really going to go to Carla? Because Carla's very smart.
That's what I was thinking, too. I was like, Carla accept this? Like, because Carla's in a good spot.
Yeah, like, here's the funny. Go ahead. No. Well, I was just saying, like, I'm surprised. Like, Carla is so smart. When Sammy goes to Carla to talk about voting out Ryan, immediately my first instinct was, oh, this is not good for Sammy. She's going to go tell somebody and be like, we got to get Sammy out. Bam, Sammy's gone. That's where Carla in a confessional.
She's so damn good.
Yeah, Carla was just like, yeah, actually, that does seem like a pretty good idea to get out Ryan because he's, you know, he's a big threat. And
I think it's also some annoyance because it's just like you're in our alliance, but like, how helpful are you really?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing to help my strategic game? What are you doing to help my social game? Congrats. You're fishing for 3 hours when we need to be talking about tribal. Like, you can't be talking for only 10 minutes and then going to fish the entire time. Like, we need to act. We just got rice.
Yeah.
Like, we're good.
I know. This is not the time where I want to go fishing. And we see Ryan talk about, like, he's just not a great strategic player.
No.
Because
and not everyone will be.
Yeah, he's looking at this like, oh, the experience. I want to have my memories of fishing in Fiji on Survivor and to get those, you know, aerial photographs and the underwater shots of me catching Rupert-sized aquarium fish, as Johnny says. That seems like a almost like a recruited player type scenario or someone that's just really not invested in historical Survivor and really
it comes across as someone who said their favorite Survivor player and who they would want to play like is Rupert.
Yes, it does. Seriously, it's kind of crazy. Cassidy, who's relentless of player, I think Cassidy could be really a villain, honestly. If they really showed a side of her, I think she's intense. And
I think she's a, like, I wouldn't even say she's a villain. I feel like you could easily flip-flop her between a villain or a hero based off your, just how you view her.
Yeah.
But what, above all else, you can automatically say, like, she's a self-interested player.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the third week in a row now where someone from the same original tribe is just like, but this person I can't trust. They actively tried to send me out. Mm-hmm. They tried to like do what they could. Why should I trust them? They need to go. Yeah. And we get the conversation that I've been saying for the last 2 weeks from James, where what's worse, the devil you know or the devil you don't. And because like at first, everyone's on board. Everyone's getting on board. Carla does her magic. Sammy's doing his work. Everyone's like, yeah, we can blindside Ryan. what harm does that do? We'll still have the numbers. We'll still have six to the minority four, but then you get to Cody. And Cody, as we saw earlier in the episode, was talking to Jesse saying, like, we got into this bed. We need to lay in it for at least one vote. Yeah. Like, let's have an easy vote. Cody's like, just, I think for Cody, it's a self-interested move of have the easy vote, one less round where I need to worry about using my idol, which he still hasn't gotten back from Jesse.
No.
At this point.
Yeah.
But it's like, do an easy vote. We can figure it out later.
Yeah.
Which in my head, I think he should be wanting this because this is like harks back to season 41 where the blue tribe comes in with the numbers and all the other tribes are like, let's let them keep the numbers.
Yeah.
Because I just don't understand that logic outside of like, oh, you make good social connections. Mm-hmm. But like, don't you think they all made good social connections with each other? And now they have all four of their people still. And we're just picking off Baka. We're picking off Vessi. Coco's still all intact. And you're just like, yeah, you know, but we like Carla's with us.
Yeah.
She's with us.
Yeah. It's wild. I mean, I'm liking, although we see, you know, we're going into tribal right now, right? It's night 16, which is, you know, when I played Survivor, night 16 was the day that I got voted out of the game.
Hey, you'd be first member of the jury.
Yeah, I know. We start off this tribal. Jeff talks about, look, we cast people, and he talks about a social contract. Like, you make your own society.
Yep.
You make your own way of playing this game. And I do feel we are in this new era of Survivor, according to Jeff. It's a shorter game, etc. But I feel that the reason Survivor has been on for so many years is because it is a social experiment. And that is why I fell in love with Survivor, putting people from all walks of life in this abnormally gnarly situation. Just the game of whoever, you know, originally, whether it was, I know Mark Burnett was behind it, but like, who really initially came up with a concept of like, wow, the game of Survivor is a brilliant idea. So like, if you don't have the option to play real Survivor, I would highly suggest playing one of the online reality games like you have played and Lauren Pratt has played and various other patrons have played. Go to Surviving Real Foot or the Survival Challenge or one of these Survivor-like games. Because I tell you what, watching it on TV is one thing, but playing, whether it's an online virtual game, because you can say all day long, you know, like when you watch football and everyone's like, why did the coach tell them to do this? And you're like, play it, you know, why do they do, oh, I could be a better coach than that. People say that about Survivor.
Right.
Go on, Alex.
I'm here. I'm talking on this podcast. I haven't played a lick of real Survivor, you know?
Yeah.
I have this mic in front of my face, and I talk about what's good gameplay and what's not good gameplay. Anyone can learn theories of gameplay and what should be good strategy or bad strategy. It's a whole nother thing to go into a game with a bunch of people you do not know, or even people you do know, and trying to implement those strategies and being like, that's the right move, that's the wrong move, because you can get blinded very quickly. And we see that on the show. So it's like, as much as we give people a hard time, like Matt knows, Johnny knows, I know, like, there's so many other things and other factors that happen once you step foot on that sand or in a game, whether it's online or a live game, that changes your way that you're thinking. And you can't think the way that we podcast.
No.
Because if you just think like that, you're just a game bot.
Yeah.
And no one wants to play with a game bot.
No. No, and it's crazy too, because it's like you got to think about, like, all day long in the comfort of your home, you can think of how I would play Survivor, right? Well, right now I'm sitting in a climate controlled house.
I'm well
fed with internet and water and everything at my fingertips. When you're on Survivor, you're like, dude, you're not talking to anybody you know in your real life. You're doing the most gnarly thing ever. You got the elements, the rain, the cold, the bugs, all that shit. You have, I am severely lacking food and nutrients, and I'm not getting any sleep. And now, with all that said, I'm trying to play a game with a bunch of lying and deceitful people. and you're trying to win $1 million. So it's gnarly. It really is. It's really crazy. So mad respect to all the players that sign up to play this crazy game. So at Tribal Council, Gobbler is talking about being subtle. And, you know, and then Ryan's kind of talking about, well, I'm trying to soak in the experience. You know, I went out fishing and I caught like, oh, let's say 21 fish. It was awesome.
And you know, Jeff was like, in the back of his mind, Jeff's incredulous about this because he couldn't stop bringing it up. He's just like, and you're playing the game. He's out fishing.
Yeah. I mean, going fishing, okay, like at this point in the game when there's just a merge, right? You were choosing to go fishing versus maybe strategizing, maybe like looking for idols.
Hey, we're talking seven to strong. People in your,
yeah, it's just, seven strong. It's insane to me. Because I even had, I'm like, dude, you're talking about soaking in the experience. You got to play the game. Like, I understand there are times and places for soaking in the experience. But at this point in the game, dude, you got to play the game because I don't think Ryan is going to be lasting very long. I also am worried about, you know, well, not worried. I don't care that much, but Sammy's game. I think he's going to be gone. And I think people like Carla and James Cassidy are going to be probably outwitting these people. So Janine, she's not comfortable. She knows her idol is gone.
Yep.
She knows like, ugh, like my game kind of after Dwight's gone is kind of screwed.
Yep.
Yeah, Ryan starts talking about his 21 fish. Jeff's like, ooh, 21 fish. Yeah, that's unprecedented. That's more than Rupert. You know, we talked about like Janine, she's like wanting to connect with everyone and trust her gut in this game. But I don't know. I mean, what do you think about Janine here
in the situation? In a position where that's all she can have.
Yes.
Like, and that's sort of like the other thing about Survivor and how you play is you can only play based off what's given to you, essentially. Yeah. What do you have in this game that you can provide? And when you're losing all your allies, you lose all your advantages. It's like all you have is your vote and your word. Mm-hmm. And so like you have to rely on the words of other people or you're gone. And it's a fact that you just have to realize.
Yeah.
But another thing that's an aspect is because we know Janine goes out.
Yeah.
She gets her and Cassidy vote for Ryan. Everyone else votes for Janine. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we'll find out at the beginning of the episode next week why Owen and Sammy and Gabler ultimately vote out Janine. Because I think part of it's just a fear of not being in the majority, which is a group think concept that some people have to break. And Sammy wanted to break it, but we see in this episode he was too scared to ultimately pull through with it. Or stuff was brought up to his attention that caused them all to be like, oh, we can't do it. Sorry, Janine, you have to go. But from Cassidy's aspect, because she does still vote, she makes a point. She's going to vote Ryan. Yeah. She probably knew Janine was going anyway. But she's like, I want to make a stand. And I think she brings up a good conversation because I think a lot of times we've had not necessarily an issue, but there's like always that controversy of like, oh, you only want to vote the women out, or like, I want to keep all the women in the game and all. But like, I think she talks about it in a good way where she's like, I don't think this is on purpose. I don't think they're just taking out all the women just for the sake of that we're women.
Right.
But it's like, you have this in the back of your mind. It's like, well, I could be next potentially. Yeah. So I need to keep as many of the women that are still left in the game in, and that helps me have another avenue. So I thought that was like a really interesting concept. Even though it doesn't go her way here, I still have hopes for Cassidy in this game, where it's like, okay, they lose Janine, but maybe between her and Carla they can be like the a duo women group to help like take out some of these guys, because James is playing good, but James is out in front now. James is the godfather. James is like the antagonist that you know.
Yeah.
Rather than the people that are working underneath. And like, that's Cassidy's game. That's Carla's game. Yeah. And I want to see how they maneuver past this vote. Because you know in the back of their minds, they're like, well, we can't go to the end with James. We can't go to the end with Cody or Jesse. Like, what's our path?
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. I mean, Sammy does make a statement before the votes are read. Like, look, the rules are going to be broken. It's going to be chaos and blah, blah, blah. I think the other players are going to be like, oh, like, man, you're really kind of like talking about how crazy things are going to be. Like, that would be a little bit of a red flag. But yeah,
I think that was his, like, I'm frustrated that I can't get my way. So what's trust? What's trust, people? What's the deal with trust in Survivor? It's like trying to do some Seinfeld stand up there.
Oh, yeah. I tell you what, when I played Survivor, whenever we were going to vote, like literally, like when I'm thinking about like women being like trying to stay together so another woman doesn't get voted out or whatever. And I know early on there was a lot of women getting voted out, like first few boots were women. I never once, when I was playing Survivor on my tribe, ever voted. I never even considered male, female, black, white, whatever.
Right.
My game was strictly like the first couple girls that were voted out because they were like hooking up, you know, they were like cuddling and stuff. And like that was a major no-no. Like you got Eddie and Reynold and Hope and Allie all together. And it's like, oh, well, we got to do something about this. So,
right.
The first two, there were some women that got voted out, but it was never based on because you're a woman. It's circumstances and strategy. You know what I'm saying? So, like,
I think that's what Cassie was trying to portray as well to the viewers was like, I don't believe that all the women that have been voted out of this game have been voted out because they were women. Like, I feel like they tried to like give some more reasoning behind it because some of it is true that like Cody was saying, she's good at puzzles. She showed in the pre-merge. She was very good at the puzzles. And that's going to start coming up again. And we aren't going to beat her at that.
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, and if she's at the bottom, she's like, well, that shows, you could make a case of that showing tenacity and like perseverance and being able to go against the odds. That's a scary story to go to the end with. And I know you're only at final 11 there, but it's like something that some people, an issue is they think too far ahead instead of thinking of like what's right here. Because Cassie's saying, we can take out Janine whenever.
Yeah.
Like eventually some of these bigger guys are going to keep winning stuff. So why do you want to have the bigger guys around when maybe you will need it at some point?
I personally, getting a beast like Ryan out when you're in the individual portion of this game, because Janine is literally like you could blow, she's like as skinny as a toothpick. I don't feel like she would have a snowball's chance in hell to win any challenge. Mm-hmm. So I would be like probably wanting to keep her around and get rid of a big physical player. Because he is one of the most biggest beasts of the people remaining.
Yeah, like the way I view it, and I know I prefer Janine as a viewer over Ryan.
Yeah.
And just my preference.
Yeah.
But like if I was on the island and I'm playing and I have all this information, because I'm in the majority, I have the knowledge. I would rather have Janine because based off gameplay, based off what I've seen, she's been blindsided multiple times, which means like she's sticking to what like she's working with. She's not blindsiding people. You know where her head's at.
Right.
It's like, but like, I also see that she'll actively play. Is that a threat? Sure. But I'd rather have someone on my side who feels like she has nobody. Let me be the one who like brings her under my arm, be like, hey, come over here to the safety, be one of, like, be with us. Mm-hmm. You're an equal here, even though it's like she's a piece.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, and then I can take out Ryan because in my mind, Ryan's not he's only good ally in the sense of I can guarantee his vote is with me.
Yeah.
Outside of that, I don't think I bond with him. He's never around. He's fishing and thinks that he can only do strategy for 10 minutes. I need allies that, not necessarily that I need to always be talking strategy, but I need them to be available. I need them to be present. I need them to be socializing with everyone else.
Yeah.
It's like, go, like Sammy said, he has a great relationship with the fish. Cool. Vote him out. He can fish at Ponderosa.
That's right. He can fish at Ponderosa. Well, with that, we see previews for next week where it looks like two immunity idol necklaces are on the table. with two people getting voted out.
Which means we're getting that classic modern Survivor now of Final 10. We're going to split you into 5 and 5. One person wins immunity on each tribe or selection. Two people go out. Will be interesting to see how it gets divvied up, who wins, who goes to tribal first, because we saw in 42, the tribe that went first had ramifications for the tribe that went second.
Yep.
So I'm very fascinated to see what will happen next episode. I honestly love a good split challenge episode. I love seeing like a majority have to be split up and have to make the hard calls of, do you stick with that majority or do you use this to make a little move of your own to
totally
heighten your power?
Yeah.
But we'll see next week.
We'll see next week. And like I said, if you want to see another podcast with our man, Johnny Fairplay, who's at a viewing party tonight, he'll be doing later this week an additional recap podcast. And if you like what we're doing, the best way to support the podcast is to become a patron, realitypatron.com. We do the Q&A, secret Facebook group. We talk about, you know, the stuff we shouldn't talk about on this normal podcast. It's super fun, great community. And I met a lot of really cool people and friends that that we've just really dealt with a lot of crazy times the past couple years. And the Patreon group has really helped out with all of us that we love these shows so much. So, Alex, thank you very much. I really dug this episode. It's definitely a positive ray of light after last week's kind of like, oh, wow, it's kind of a crazy episode. So we will see you next week for another season 43. Cheers, everyone. Good night.
And for more bonus content, go to realitypatron.com. That's right. Become a patron now. Get additional coverage of all your favorite shows, the weekly Q&A, and you become a member of the secret, exclusive Facebook group. That's Reality Patron. .com